Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
The drive and the two.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
Considered making an intro and just making it like a fart noise.
And saying, oh, hey, it's the drive with Tay and Piper. It's Lonte, Trevor Valise. Derek, on his way back from East Lansing, will not be joining us today. He'll be in tomorrow. Trevor's working yeoman hours lately. I think we're giving you tomorrow off. Is that right?
Well, kind of.
Well,
but we're all ducking out early and away.
From the show, at least.
Right.
You're getting an hour.
Because you both will be here for the first time.
Oh, no, not tomorrow. I'm sorry. Friday. That's
exactly. I actually went and I made a calendar for the month of March because I'm just thinking like, okay, so Derek's gone for this game here.
Oh.
The tournament is here. The Big Ten tournament is here. And then guess what? The last week of the month, baseball. No show.
Oh, my gosh.
Opening day for the Cardinals is the last week.
Let's go. We've almost to baseball. Yeah, because I wasn't going to be here today, but then that changed. And, of course, Pipes couldn't make it back from East Lansing.
It's a long drive. I didn't realize how long of a drive that was. I mean, that's like 8.5 hours.
It's a long way.
Because I think of Michigan. Uh-huh. My family's on the West Coast. You know, you think of Ann Arbor or something, and you think, well, maybe 4 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lansing's by Detroit.
It's a long...
Which is on the entirely other side of the state.
I did it one time for WAND, and, yeah, I was the same way.
Yeah, you would know, yeah.
I was like, man, this is a long drive. I remember we drove, and we were going to a hockey game, a Michigan State hockey game, the night we arrived. It was for a football game. And so we were late to the hockey game because we mistimed essentially how far it was. This was back before Google Maps and...
Siri.
All that stuff, yeah. So we basically had to get a map out. And, man, that makes me sound really old, doesn't it?
I used to remember doing that as a kid. I was the one holding the map.
Exactly.
As a parent drove. It wasn't that long ago.
Isn't it funny, like, before internet, and you would have to just call and say, hey, we're coming to Florida, so we need a hotel room this night, this night, and this night.
And if you didn't call ahead, it would be a payphone.
Exactly.
So you have to find one. I remember when there were spaces around town that had payphones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we were getting dinner or something, we'd stop at Chili's, and you'd have to pay from the payphone to say, what do you want for dinner?
How funny
is that? Yeah.
Hey, we're evolving, and that's the good news.
And dial-up internet.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the one where if someone was on the phone, you couldn't be on the internet because it was the same line.
Yep.
So mom would pick up the phone, and I'd have to stop my video game or whatever because it was through the same.
And it was the creepy noise of getting onto it. It's almost like a fax or whatever on the phone. All right. We are going to talk about Illinois and Michigan State. Last night, it was not a good night for Illinois all across the board. Michigan State outplayed you. I felt like they outworked you. They were physical against you. And I know Brad Underwood, and we've got audio, I believe, or no, do we?
Yep.
Yeah, of Brad basically saying, you know what, they mucked it up. And that's what they intended to do, was muck up that game, because they brought in guys basically to foul Kofi. And the idea worked. And I'm surprised more teams don't do it, to be honest with you. Now, Kofi is better from the free throw line than what he showed last night, but certainly the ability for him to miss a lot of free throws is always there. So Michigan State, I thought, did a good job with that. Their wings, their athleticism with Aaron Henry and Josh Langford.
Langford has a career-high 10 rebounds.
Incredible.
Last night he gets 16.
He had 10 in the first half.
10 in the first half. He double-doubled in the first half.
Yeah, he and Aaron Henry. And I said it yesterday as we were leaving. As we were leaving here, I think I said, for Michigan State to win, they're going to have to slow the pace.
That was a good call on by the score.
And then also, Henry and Langford are going to have their games, and they did. And their little mid-range jumpers, that game was on last night for Michigan State. They didn't, I know they attempted some threes, but I don't think they really hurt you.
They were 4 for 8 from three.
That's incredible.
So they only attempted 8 threes in the game. And to your point on the Kofi side of things, Julius Marble, one of their big guys, he plays 6 minutes and fouls out.
Wow.
5 fouls in 6 minutes. For one of their big guys. Obviously, Sissoko gets ejected after the flagrant two. He had 4 fouls. Bingham has 4 fouls in 12 minutes of play. And Kithier fouls out in 6 minutes of play. So they had 2 guys combined for 12 minutes and 10 fouls.
That's ridiculous.
In Kithier and Marble.
And Bingham has been a thorn in Illinois' side since he arrived at Michigan State.
Averaging 3 points a game, but he scores 7 last night. Yeah. And he affects shots. He gets 2 blocks, 2 assists.
It's incredible. And Rocket Watts, who's, you know, had a subpar season.
To put it lightly, he has sucked all year. And he was great last night. And it's like, of course.
What, 13?
You and I were spot on with this.
We were.
In terms of just the fear that Michigan State has always had that ability to turn it on because they still have a good core. It's just that they haven't all year, inexplicably. No. And here they go and they turn it on.
It's unbelievable. So I don't know if, is the audio up? On our...
Is it not?
It says Brad 1.
Yeah, so it's just one file.
Oh, okay.
I did not have time to clip it up. I had other stuff going on, but...
You can tell Trevor and I haven't chatted much about today's show.
It's pretty consistent, though, and it's shorter. Usually his post games are about 25 minutes. It's 10 minutes.
Okay.
So I figured maybe better to just play it in a burst at some point.
Let's do it. Let's do that right now. Let's get that out of the way.
He has some interesting comments that, frankly, I disagree with.
Really?
So we'll listen to it.
I literally finally just looked down at the rundown and saw the Brad one. That was my fault. So Illinois loses last night. What was the final even?
It was 81-72. Illinois outscores them by 8 in the final few minutes.
Okay.
Another one of those sort of furious rallies at the end that obviously comes up short. You had the chance where Sissoko gets the flagrant 2. Io gets 2 free throws in the ball. He misses both free throws. Mm. Then they get the ball back, and he gets fouled again, and he goes 1 for 2.
Yeah.
So you leave 3 points at the line right there with the guy, let's be honest, he's in the conversation for best player in the nation.
Absolutely.
He can't go 1 for 4 from the line late in the game. But at the same time, you're down 16 before that.
Exactly.
So I feel like I'm almost just nitpicking if I say that's where you lost the game. Because frankly, where you lost the game is where you looked like you didn't give a damn for the first half.
That's true.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
And I saw someone tweet out last night about, you know, you're All-American, can't miss 3 out of 4 free throws. And somebody took exception to that and said, wait, you're ripping on Io after all he's done? I don't think we're ripping on Io at all in the sense that we expect him to make more than 1 out of 4, Io would be the first one to tell you that he should have made more. I mean, he said it.
I mean, he goes 5 for 13 on 2-point field goals. He goes 1 for 6 from three, and he shoots 50% from the line.
Yeah. And if you can read lips after he missed those two, you know that you know exactly what he said because it wasn't a nice word. I mean, he doesn't expect that. No, nobody is ripping on Io for actually being human for one game, let's be honest with you. But certainly that doesn't mean that we can't sit there and say he has to make more than 1 out of 4 of those. And if he does, you could have had that into a 2-possession game. And who knows, right, at that point.
Right. At that point, it would have been 68-62.
Yep.
So
do you ever feel like this happens in football when you feel like the field is tilted?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your defense can't stop a team, and you can't go anywhere because you're running uphill, it feels like. That was last night's game. To the point of this, I was about 10 minutes, no, I was more than that, about 20 minutes late starting the game. By the time you and I, you know, left here at 6, got home, you even left a little later than I did. By the time we get home, we get ready to roll, it's already like 6:20, 6:25. So that game got to the point, I was progressively, for the most part, a little bit behind. It got to the point where every time Michigan State had the ball and they brought it down around half, I hit the 30-second fast forward, and I looked to see if they scored. Because it was just to the point where I'm like, they're scoring every time. This is driving me nuts. And Aaron Henry, it felt like, should have had about 48. I think he had 22.
He had 15.
Oh, is that it?
He had 15 and 16.
Oh,
15
wow.
points and 16 rebounds. Henry? Sorry, Henry had 22.
Okay, yeah.
Langford had 15 and 16.
Wow. I mean, they both came to play. That's
and then
sure.
Watts has his season high of 13.
Of course he did.
They shot 56% from two.
Wow.
Which,
that was the game.
You're basically saying that almost two out of every 3 2-point field goals they take, you're going to make. And then Illinois goes 0 for 12 on layups in the first half.
Oh, that was frustrating.
Georgie gets stuffed by the rim, which was just frankly embarrassing.
It was.
And I don't want to get too far into the weeds here because this is a team that just won 7 in a row.
Yeah.
They lost a game to a team that is now in the quad one because they beat you. So it's now a quad one loss. It's kind of weird. They were quad two. But because they beat you, they are now quad one. So it's a quad one loss. So I don't want to get so down here that like we're dogging on guys left and right. But there's just something especially frustrating, and we've talked about it before, about the attitude of this team when they're down. And it just bugs me.
I saw your tweet about that.
You know, like DeMonte tries to start a fight at the end of the first half.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know.
It's frustrating.
It's unbecoming when you come out with no... you know, energy or effort, and then you finally get that effort, but it's either A, too late in the game, or B, channeled in the worst possible way.
That's fair.
Where suddenly it's like, you know, you're channeling the anger into your discipline instead of your shot making.
That's a great point.
And it just frustrates me.
Yep. And I know I texted you in a game earlier this year, and my text to you was, sometimes this team is difficult to watch. And it was kind of what I meant. I meant that sometimes it looks like we're, you know, that you get down and then you just get more almost angry.
It's just anger and discombobulation.
Sure.
And maybe every team does that when they're losing. I understand you're going to be angry. It just, I don't know. It just feels like, you know, you see the highs and the lows and you just saw it back to back with
no doubt,
you know, potentially the best performance of the year, followed up by a game where you just walk away and you're like, what was that?
Right.
And it's just frustrating that we're at this point of the season with a team that has clearly shown how good they can be.
Yes.
And we're still getting the what was that games.
And I think it's fair to be frustrated last night as an Illini fan because you know what's at stake.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't one of those games where Illinois is comfortably in fifth place in the Big Ten and they're comfortably in the tournament and you're just trying to figure out if you're going to be a 4 or a 5 or a 6 seed. And even then, you wouldn't want to lose. But when you go into a game knowing what's at stake in terms of a Big Ten title, B, a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I mean, we talked about how you've got Ohio State still coming up. They lost a game against Michigan. Now, if you beat Michigan State, you're probably hopefully going to beat Nebraska. And then you've got a Wisconsin team that's a little bit not wounded in sense of hurt, but just not a team that's been what we're used to in terms out of Wisconsin the last 10 years. You're starting to think, all right, if you do your job this week, now you're in position to beat Ohio State and be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. So in that sense, that's why you're more angry about last night.
Because the raised level of expectation going into that game.
Absolutely.
And so again, like I want to check myself before I go too far because
fair enough.
I'm sitting here saying, oh no, they're a two seed.
Right.
You know, and it's like, think about this year. A two seed, I'll take it. But it's just... you lost the Big Ten title last night.
Yep.
I mean, frankly, you did.
Yep.
Because now it would require you beating Michigan, a tall task in and of itself.
No doubt.
And outside of Michigan losing that game to you, losing two more just to tie.
Michigan State would have to beat them twice.
Yep. Or Indiana would have to beat them and Michigan State would have to beat them. And look, I know it's possible, but I mean, you're talking about slim
big time
margins now that you've left for yourself after this game. And It's just frustrating. It wasn't a back-and-forth game. It wasn't.
No.
Michigan State punched you for 30 minutes, and then you kind of punch back, and you end up losing by 9.
Yep.
But that was not a back-and-forth game. You were not in that game for 30 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I almost didn't finish my thought about the field being tilted in football. That's what it felt like last night. You were always behind in that game, trying to make up. And when you'd make up a little run and get 4 or 5 in a row, and then it would seem like Michigan State would answer or something would happen where they'd a ball would go off Michigan State and hit an official out of bounds, and then they'd give it back to Michigan State. And you're like, wait a minute, what?
Is that the rule, by the way?
The only thing I was trying, before I got crazy upset about that, the only thing I was thinking is the official standing out of bounds.
Right.
So to him, as soon as the ball hits him, he has to say, okay, this play is dead. Okay, now I don't know this.
Sure.
This is what I'm assuming as I'm going through my mind what happened last night. So in his mind, he's thinking Illinois touched it, The ball hit off my leg, and so it's a dead ball, and it's Michigan State ball. Now, if the ball is still alive, Illinois grabbed the ball. So there's no reason for Michigan State to have gotten that call. Because, number one, it went off a Michigan State player.
Well, it didn't go off an Illinois guy. It went off Michigan State player's knee, then off the official's knee, then out of bounds.
And an Illinois guy, I think it bounced inbounds, and an Illinois guy was standing right there to grab it, but the official blew it dead because he's standing out of bounds.
Sure.
So I think in his mind, he thought the ball went off Illinois, hit him, dead ball, Michigan State ball. But in reality, he was wrong on both ends.
Yep. And so, the official rules right here, I just Googled it. If the referee is standing out of bounds, then the ball is out of bounds and dead as soon as it hits the referee, which it did.
He assumed
it is out on the last player to touch the ball prior to the referee's contact.
Okay.
So the problem is the last player to touch it upon replay, he just missed it.
He missed the call.
It was a Michigan State player that touched it last.
Yep.
So it should have been Illinois' ball. And again, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on that because you're down 16 when that's happening.
Right.
So it's sort of like, you know, that doesn't single-handedly change the game. And later on, you get a flagrant foul that, I mean, it looked really bad.
It
don't
did.
Get me wrong.
It did.
I was a little surprised, though, that they kicked him out for it.
I was, too.
So, you know, you kind of weigh it
especially
both ways.
Especially because Kofi's didn't, they didn't even call flagrant.
Right. So you kind of weigh it both ways. And obviously, the officiating wasn't great.
No.
I think Jeremy summed it up well. He tweeted something like, I'm not saying specifically for one team or the other, but if this is the best the Big Ten has, they need to do better.
Amen.
And that's essentially where I'm at with it, too, where it's just, it's so inconsistent.
Yep.
You don't know what's being called when. You see one thing called here and then another thing called there, and that's what's so frustrating about it.
It is. It really is. And a guy like Tom Izzo, who, you know, I think we all admire as a coach and what he's been able to do at Michigan State, but there is a frustration in the sense that from the tip, he is in their ears.
Yes.
There was even one play where I think I know the play. Illinois stole the ball at half court. The Michigan State defender takes Curbelo to the ground.
Yeah, yep.
And I'm like, that's not a foul? But it actually led to an Illinois layup. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I'm glad he didn't make the call. And on the way back down the court, Tom Izzo is in the official's ear. And I'm like, is he saying, why didn't you call the foul there? And if that's the case, if I'm the official, I'd turn around and say, Tom, shut up. And obviously, Brad was doing some chirping in that game because at one point, Larry Serrato basically just...
I thought he might get a T because he was trying
too.
To spark things and get his team fired up. He didn't.
No.
I knew I remembered this from somewhere. I just Googled it real quick. Dan Dockage called Tom Izzo the whiniest coach in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Dan's word is gold, but I mean, he's a former Big Ten coach who is friends with Tom. So
yes.
The fact that he comes out and says he's the whiniest coach in the country.
Listen, isn't that the smart thing to do? Isn't it smart? Coach K does the same thing.
Yeah. No, you're right.
He'll hound and hound and hound, and eventually his team will get a call going their direction. And maybe not, and I know that Michigan State had more fouls than Illinois. I mean, obviously, their whole front line fouled out just abusing Kofi. But in a sense, there are times during a game where a foul makes more of an impact of a game than just looking at a box score if you didn't watch the game and
Absolutely,
saying, why are you complaining about Tom Izzo? Because I even tweeted that out. And someone's saying, why are you complaining about Izzo? Michigan State had more fouls than Illinois. But there are certainly fouls during a game. And in the first half, there were a few instances where I felt like it kind of set the tone of the game and it wasn't in Illinois' direction.
Or calls that aren't fouls but are still bad calls.
Exactly.
I mean, the out of bounds wasn't a foul, so that's not in a box score.
Yep. Yep.
The travel, remember when he lost the ball and then obviously if you're Curbelo, you dive on top of him and that's a foul.
Right.
But I mean, he lost the ball, picked it back up and scooted on his knees before Curbelo dove on him. How
exactly.
is that not a travel?
Well, they didn't miss Georgie's when he stuffed himself on the rim. And then caught it and went like three steps.
That's,
I mean, he traveled.
Yeah.
But they didn't miss that one. Let's go to the text line real quick. Jason from Iowa. Illinois in a half-court offense has problems. I don't disagree. And especially against a team with length and athleticism.
They have to swing the ball more.
You saw against Baylor. And you saw what Michigan State did last night. It was almost as though Tom Izzo watched that Baylor game, which he probably did. And said, all right, one of my assistants, figure out how Baylor did this, and that's what we're going to do against Illinois. So,
and I would also argue that name another Big Ten team with a bunch of decent wings, Maryland.
That's a great point.
Right, between Ayala, Morsell,
Scott,
and Wiggins. You've got four guys there that are all like 6'5". Now, they're not going to beat you single-handedly, but together. And then maybe you look at Ohio State the same way.
Yep.
Now, Liddell was just on fire that game. But there's a trend there, right?
There is.
There's an established trend this year of lanky teams with length bothering with Illinois. Physical,
yeah.
And sometimes you just get stuck to where, like I said, you have to swing the ball more.
You do.
There were possessions where, you know, it was Trent to Io, and then you're down to five on the shot clock.
Right.
And it's like, where is this going?
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. And we got to get some guys like DeMonte shooting the ball more.
Well, he passed up an open three.
I don't understand it.
I say this unironically. He's the best three-point shooter in the country right now, statistically speaking.
Right?
You know he's not going to take it to the rim. Mm-mm. You've seen him do that five times in his entire career. What?
Shoot the ball.
Shoot the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. I guarantee you Illinois coaches are not telling him not to shoot.
Oh, no, that was on his own volition, and he's going to get near full for it. But, I mean, Curbelo takes an early shot clock three. Why?
Right.
It just, things just didn't make sense last night.
I know. There was, and nothing went right. I mean, you couldn't.
No.
I mean, Io had a point-blank layup that hit every part of the cylinder and came out. And you're just like, all right, it's not our night.
The game sucked. It just did. It was one of those games that
it
just
sucked.
It was not good.
Okay, more from Jason, especially with that man switch defense on Io about every play off the pick and roll. This team will never be a great free throw shooting team because Kofi shoots the most. I agree with that. Io's second on the team. Really, no one else gets to the line that often. Vent over. All right, next one. 217. Not sure why people are surprised by the performance. Illinois has been playing bad the last three out of four games, Nebraska, Northwestern, Michigan State. Should we be surprised that Illinois played that well on Saturday? You did kind of get through with Nebraska and Northwestern, so that's a good point. So, yeah, I mean, listen.
I think I was just surprised at how bad it was.
Mm-hmm.
You and I said we had a bad feeling, and I was talking about Illinois minus 7.5 as a bad feeling.
Didn't know it was going
to
be that
bad. I didn't think that Illinois would win going away.
Yep.
I didn't think I'd tune in to start the second half and see them down 18.
Exactly.
That's what surprised me.
We're going to hear from Brad Underwood when we come back. One thing that I want to get to before we get out of here is there is a Stever offer that we're doing today, and it's the Stever stimulus. So you go to Go Stever. I always hate that. Go to Go Stever.
Go is part of the website address.
Right.
We're not telling you to go to Stever.com. We're telling you to go to GoStever.com.
GoStever.com, and it is an Apple Dumplin' offer, Stever stimulus offer. If you spend $50 at Apple Dumplin'.
Minimum of 50.
Minimum of 50. I'm glad you said that. If you spend 50 or more at Apple Dumplin', Stevie will Venmo you back $25. Now, for you to do that, though, you have to be a part of the GoStever.com, and it's very easy to sign up. I did it.
Takes 30 seconds, and Lon did it in 30 seconds.
I did.
So a normal person should be at like 15 seconds.
Trevor was like really shocked that I was able to do it so quick. And GoStever.com has specials as well.
Yeah, not just the stimulus offers.
Exactly.
Regular offers as well. You're signing up for free to get half off a ton of different things.
Yeah, and now everybody doesn't get the 25 back, but you will know before you do that, right? If you're one of the ones
you'll know
eligible.
You'll get an email knowing if you're the winner. So don't just go to Apple Dumplin' and expect your money back if you haven't gotten a notification that you've won.
So GoStever.com. GoStever.com, sign up, or if you are a member of GoStever.com, then
the offer tab is up there, and you can click on it to enter the offer.
Sweet.
And then you just have to send a picture of your receipt. You'll get a link. Once you've won, you'll get a link. You upload your receipt just to prove that you spent the 50 or more at Apple Dumplin', and then Stevie will Venmo you back 25.
It's 25 free dollars.
It's half off your dinner.
Exactly. And who wouldn't want that right now? Apple Dumplin'. Stevie J is doing this because he is a small business, and he's wanting to help as many small businesses as he can. So he's proud to offer that. GoStever.com. I want to say something real quick, too, before we get out of here. I actually had a COVID vaccine today. So I got my first shot today, and the way I did this, Kara set this up. She got a hold of, it's basically in Monticello, it's the DeWitt-Piatt County Health Department. And they were able to basically say, if you volunteer and help while we give shots, then we will give you a shot. And that's what we did because, you know, as everyone knows, I'm 50, drink, but I'm still not eligible yet for a shot. So we went today and volunteered, and it was awesome. We had so much fun. I visited with, you know me, I'm in my element there, man. I'm talking to 100 people, and you know, asking them what time their appointment is. I had to tell a few people, like, well, you need to wait in the car 10 minutes and then get in and then go, you know, get your stuff done. So if you are interested and you're like me, where you're not going to be eligible for a shot, I asked Mike Schroeder, who is in charge of this. I said, Mike, is it okay if I throw this out on the radio? He's like, absolutely. So he wanted you to go to their website, which is DeWittPyatt Health.com. DeWittPyatt Health.com. I think most of us know how to spell that if we've lived around here, but it's DeWittPyatt Health.com. And then you can get on there, and it's the first thing you see, I believe, on their website. And you can try to find a date where you are eligible to volunteer, because they're filling up, which is awesome. And you know what? Why not? Why shouldn't I volunteer to get this thing? If I'm going to be able to get one, why not do a little work to do it? So I was happy to do it. And then when I go back, I believe it's March 24th for my second shot, then I'm going to also volunteer that day and help out. And I think it's a great thing. So just want to throw that out. There's plenty probably of opportunities in Champaign County, Douglas County, all over, you know, our counties, Vermilion, et cetera. But certainly I was able to do this in Monticello today, and I appreciate Mike Schroeder and that group. It is a well-run machine over there, and we had a lot of fun getting that done. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Brad Underwood. We may have a couple of guests in the 5 o'clock hour, but we're still waiting to hear.
Working on it.
From both. All right, so one of them would be talking about Illinois basketball, and we'll let you know as we go along on that. Keep sending your questions in, 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. You can also use that number to call, and that is, of course, the, you can tell I've been gone for a while.
The Dick Van Dyke phone line?
Thank you. My goodness.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah,
if you don't mind. I feel like Derek usually does, right?
Yeah, go ahead and read that if you don't mind.
You can find us on Twitter. Just search at the Drive 935. Text line, call line 217-359-2255. Podcasts are on all platforms. The vaccine's hitting lawn.
Yeah, no
find
doubt.
No, I'm kidding. Find us on tayandpiper.podbean.com, stevyj.com, stevyjay, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can watch us on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter.
Sweet.
Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
The Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. That's really not
Jay
that
Layman
hard to
would be yelling at you he right would. Now if he was in here.
See what happens if you miss like three radio shows in a row. You just totally forget what you're doing.
My name is Trevor, by the way.
Right. I appreciate it. I had to write it down on my hand. It's on the inside of my hand. All right. So send them in. Any questions? 359-2255. We'll hear Brad Underwood's postgame. I'm anxious to hear what Trevor has to say about not liking what he said or not agreeing with what he said. He also said something last night in the post game right after the show. I didn't hear the one we're about ready to play, but he said something to Brian and Dion last night that I was like, well, wait a minute. That's interesting that you just kind of moved on from that. So we'll both address that as we get along. All right, 359-2255. It is The Drive.
Hi, this is Flora Adams-Williams, physician assistant at OSF Healthcare Primary Care. Cancer screening is vital. Prevention is the key. OSF provides cancer screening for lung cancer provided through low-dose lung CT scans. It's the only proven test to screen for early detection and diagnosis of lung cancer. More than 200,000 new cases of lung cancer are diagnosed each year in the United States. Smokers and former smokers between the age of 50 and 80 generally are considered high risk for lung cancer. Mammography is also provided by OSF Healthcare. Women starting at age 50 start with annual breast cancer screening. Mammograms are considered the best tool for early detection for breast cancer. And colon cancer screening is done through colonoscopies. I want to encourage you not to put off your cancer screening due to COVID-19. I know our society has changed, but OSF is open daily for your cancer screening needs. Log on to osfhealthcare.org for more information.
If you're looking for rapid COVID-19 testing, it's now available at Campus Town Urgent Care at Green and Wright in Champaign. That's 631 East Green Street. Get a test and know within 15 minutes or less whether you have coronavirus. Dr. Tom Plura at Campus Town Urgent Care personally calls all positive patients within 30 minutes to inform them and to answer questions. During the emergency pandemic, patient insurance covers the cost of testing with no co-pays or deductibles. Medicare and Medicaid covers the test fully. Appointments are necessary, but quick and easy. Never leave your car and results in 15 minutes or less. Go to covedtest.center to book your time. Stop missing work or waiting around for days to find out results. Go to covedtest.center to book your time for rapid COVID testing from Campus Town Urgent Care. That's covedtest.center.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. Your heating and cooling system works hard for you all year long to keep you and your family comfortable. That's why it's important to have it maintained and serviced regularly. Our techs are ready to help you with all your indoor air quality, humidity, and filtration needs. Visit LandsInc.com today for specials on a brand new train system for your home and to see for yourself why it's hard to stop a train. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. That's why State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is right here in Champaign-Urbana to help you select the right protection at the right price. Kurt will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Just call him when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey, we got a new sponsor on the drive with Tay and Piper. We're excited about it. Now listen up. Central Illinois Rector Construction is the reliable roofing, construction, and remodeling company serving the residents of Central Illinois. Giving to the community is the key to their mission, as their main desire is to help better Champaign County. As the weather warms up and the dust settles from all the winter storms we've endured, it's time to think about your roof. This is the year to have your roof replaced and to have your crawl space inspected. Call or text Rector 217-281-7000 or visit them online at rectorconstruction.com. That's 281-7000. I love the easy numbers. Or you can do that, by the way, text or phone, and it's online at rectorconstruction.com. Give them a shot. You will not be disappointed.
This hour also brought to you by Gerber Collision and Glass. Did you get into a winter fender bender?
Oh.
Gerber Collision and Glass is open to serve you. All Illinois locations offer contact-free drop-and-go services for your estimate or repair. Visit GerberCollision.com for details. Get it to Gerber.
Boom. You know, I've traveled a lot this year, but it's been south, right? So I flew out to Arizona, and I didn't realize this because it's the first time I'd driven to Chicago in a while. But you can't pay tolls now.
Yes, they're closed.
Right.
But they don't tell you that.
And I should have known it.
Mm-hmm.
So today when I got back, of course, I got back yesterday, but today I get to the office and I had emailed myself because this is what I do now to remember things. So I open my email and there it is, pay tolls. So I get on there. I have to log in.
Check your iPass.
Do all that.
Yep.
Well, I don't even have an iPass.
Right, but that's the system that takes the picture of your car if you go through it when you're not supposed to.
Oh, okay. Right? Well, I guess.
What were you working with?
Well, I went to just pay tolls.
Okay.
So I gave him my license number. And then I went to what was called, what basically was your line of credit or whatever, like what you owed, and it showed zero. And I'm like, okay, something's not right here. So then it said on one of the frequently asked questions, what if my tolls have not been charged yet? And it says it could take up to 30 days. Why do I feel like I'm down a rabbit hole?
Yep.
Where now I'm
it's
not.
A trap.
Yeah, where tomorrow is after the eighth day. Well, then it says you have 14 days, I guess. Why do I think I'm going to get a letter in the mail with a bill of about $40 for
it's
not
a trap,
paying?
I'm telling you.
I agree.
And
now, let me ask, if you tried to call that right now, how long would you be on hold? 2 hours.
Oh, a long time.
And
then they'd say they were closed for the night.
Exactly.
Or
so I'm just sitting there at my office today going, all right, well, I'm going to trust that I can just hopefully wait, and all of a sudden from my checking account will be pulled for, I think there's four tolls. They're $1.50 each.
Right. Because we did this when we went up to Michigan, and we didn't know until the moment of that, you know, the toll is closed.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And then it makes sense to you. You're
it does.
Passing change to a stranger in close proximity, I guess it makes sense.
Can't you throw it in the bucket again?
You'd think so. That's what they do at night.
That was the best.
But maybe the bucket isn't that big for the whole day. I don't know. But yet it said there was like, you have to give it 7 days to process.
Oh.
But then you have to pay it within 10 or something. It was something like that. And I thought, man, that is a narrow window.
It is, because you're going to forget.
For people on that eighth or ninth day only to remember to do it. And so it feels like a gotcha.
That's exactly right. So it did on the website say today 14 days that you have to pay. So, and listen, today was the seventh day technically for my first poll.
Right.
So I'm going to assume that I'm going to wait. But I'll check the iPass one too, because I didn't.
On iPass's website, you can enter your license plate number and they'll tell you if they've run it. As in someone who went through the iPass that shouldn't.
Got it. Okay. Because on one of them, the very first one I encountered, I got over to the right because it said cash to the right and nobody was getting over. And I'm like, I'm doing something wrong.
Yep.
Well, then I realized as I got way to the right that all of the lanes were closed except an iPass lane. So I went through that. So there's probably a chance that I got an iPass.
That means there's a picture out there on the iPass thing of your car because it doesn't have the iPass. You know,
I hope I wasn't, you know, giving any bad gestures to the camera about here's what I think about your tolls.
What is Lante doing in that car?
Well, right. That's exactly right.
Jordan says you need to take a screenshot showing you have a $0 balance. He said he was charged an absurd amount, but they honored it once he showed them the screenshot.
See, this is why I love our listeners, because I knew somebody would have encountered this issue. I will do that tomorrow.
Sort of like group therapy or something.
Exactly.
You just throw it out there and someone's got a solution for you.
Somebody's going to help me out.
How do you
this.
Know how to take a screenshot?
Well, I did it on my office computer, so I guess I'll have to maybe get on my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
I do actually know how to take a screenshot. Took me about 2 years. It took me about 2 years of all of a sudden in my gallery there would be a picture of my phone, and I'm like, what happened there? Like, I didn't even know I was doing it. Oh, this is terrible.
Bet.
All right, 359-2255. Thank you, Jordan. I will take a screenshot of that. I guess I could take a picture of my computer screen.
That's old school.
That would be really old school.
Yeah, you could.
Okay. And then that should only take about 14 years for me to mail that in and say, oh, nope, there's my screenshot. All right. So last night, of course, Illinois doesn't get it done against Michigan State. I mean, we can go on. And this is almost like, let me tell you the hardest part about doing this job. If Illinois wins big, like they did against Minnesota, or they lose like they lost last night, sometimes you just don't even want to talk about it.
Yep.
Like the Minnesota game, I know I wasn't here on Monday, but seriously, what are you going to say from that game except Illinois played incredible?
I've maintained, and this sounds so silly to anyone who isn't in the industry.
Yeah.
But the hardest show to do is a show after a big win.
Yes.
I don't know why. Now, maybe if it, you know, if it's a buzzer beater or something, you've got more specific content to talk about. The amount of time you could talk about Illinois winning 94-60 feels like it's capped at maybe 20 minutes.
I agree.
Because when everything is good, what do you say?
Right.
You know what I mean? And maybe in a similar refrain last night, you can either go on a two-hour tangent about the officials or you can just say that sucked.
That's exactly.
Pretty much where I'm at.
651 said, even though I'm an Illini fan, I feel like I can watch a game, be fairly objective about the officiating. I don't want to go on and on about that. And it's not like we've gone on at all, to be honest with you. But many times he says, or she says, I've said, whoa, a lot of says, quote, we got away with one there. Well, last night, the jumping off the chair, yelling about a bad call far outweighed the times I acknowledged Illinois getting a break on a call. The court was definitely tilted last night. Can I say something about me missing that in terms of reading? While I was out in Tempe, and then we are going to hear from Brett, when I was out at Arizona State, Lucas's girlfriend had glasses that were sitting there, and I'm like, are these yours, Mackenzie? And she's like, yeah. So I put them on, and the world changed.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way. Uh-oh. And I was like, whoa, because sometimes I'll put glass. I don't think I have bad eyesight, and I get them checked, but once in a while I'll put a pair on, and it's so strong, I'm like, whoa, I can't do that. But this was just barely enough to clear things up, and I'm like, okay, it's time.
It's time.
It's time to get it done because I've waited.
Do you know if you're near or far-sighted?
Well, it's the far.
I can't keep track of
it. I can't see far as much.
Okay. So you wouldn't eat them when you were reading a book?
No.
You would need them if I was over at Meijer and exactly. saying, can you see me or something.
That's exactly right. Okay. And I could see, like, from here the Meijer sign, but it gets a little hazy.
Sure.
So that's where I've got to go. I'll get a hold of Steve Leon and get my eyes
I'm
checked
glad,
here.
I'm glad you had that in a non-threatening situation, right. realizing that was
exactly
a necessity.
And it does. I have noticed in the last year, it's a little bit harder sometimes to drive at night.
Well, so. And they say if you see that ridiculous glare off of the opposing cars, which, I mean, there's a glare for everybody.
Sure.
But I'm talking about that streak
or
the headlight, and then there's like a streak on both sides of the headlight. I think that's a cataracts thing.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure it's, look. At this point, everything wrong is going to start
getting
happening.
Ready to drink. He's going to mention 50 any second now.
It's so true. All right, let's get to Brad Underwood and see what he had to say after this game, and then we can discuss more when we, of course, come back from Brad. But this is about 10 minutes, you say?
Yep.
Here's Mr. Underwood, Coach. It's not going.
Yeah, I mean, one of those nights. We were due for one. I'll be honest, I'm not disappointed. I'm actually in a really, really good place. They mucked the game up, give them a lot of credit. They've got, there's a reason they foul as much as any team in the country. They mucked the game up, made it ugly. Their kids played really hard. I thought Langford was unbelievable in the first half and impacted the game. We have a chance, as bad as we played, as many free throws as we missed, as many layups as we smoked. Our two heroes didn't play very well in Io and Kofi, our two guys. And yet we've got a chance after flagrant foul to cut it to six on the road against a team that we can't lose sight of was a top five team earlier this year. So they're getting their legs under them. They played good. We had a couple breakdowns in transition and in the first half that really hurt us. And then we had, we couldn't get a stop. It was second chance. We'd get a stop and we get a second chance point, or they get a second chance basket. But give them credit. On to the next. We fought till the end, and I'm proud of that. And we'll go get, we'll go after it again on Thursday.
Coach, it seems there was just a lot of frustration the whole way around. How do you coach a team through that when you guys are just dealing with so many mental challenges, and especially when maybe the ball isn't going in?
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me. I got to be better. I got to do a better job. I got to do a better job of getting our guys through that. We've had moments like that. But again, tonight was frustrating, and I think the more, the more the game went on, I thought we settled in. But again, it was, I got to be better.
It looked like Io got a little emotional. I mean, usually he's so very composed. Did you find there was a little something out of character for him tonight in that sense?
I don't think there was anything to be made of it. Io missed a couple layups and a couple free throws that he doesn't miss. It's one of those nights. I mean, I don't care. Mm-hmm. You look at any pro, you look at any player, they have bad nights. He's been on an unbelievable streak for a long time and he's won us a lot of games. I just was one of those nights. And we're asking him to play a lot of minutes and guard Aaron Henry as well. And we'll get him next time.
Brad, Trent mentioned tonight that the physicality really bothered you guys. And he seemed to mention that at least tonight it was a toughness issue. Is he being a little too hard on himself, or is that something that you saw over the course of 40
minutes? No, he's probably over-exaggerating that a little bit. I mean, I thought we missed some shots early. Maybe we should have taken an extra dribble. We should have planted off 2 feet, we got bumped. You got to play through those things, but players adjust through that. It's not that big. I didn't think it was that big a deal. I thought we responded, pretty well for the most part in what was a mucked up game and a really physical game.
not like Michigan State hasn't done this in the past, though, in terms of, you know, roughing up a game and trying to play that way. So it's kind of, you knew what you were getting at that point, correct? Or
oh, absolutely. I mean, we knew we were going to shoot close to 40 free throws tonight. That was our game plan. And they foul all the time, and he's got six bodies he can throw in there in the middle. And you know, what they haven't been doing is making shots like that. And they got going against Indiana. They did that tonight. And again, we couldn't stop it because we didn't make free throws.
And, you know, Brad, when you say maybe, you know, you were due for a game like this, did you have any, like, sense of maybe this happening before the game? Or
yeah,
where does that kind of idea come from?
No, the basketball gods treat you in a crazy way sometimes. When you play and you have one as easy and as good as it was against Minnesota, you know, getting back mentally. And when we miss free throws, it's a mental thing with us. And we've won seven in a row. We've done a lot of really good things. We've grown. And it's hard when you're in a high major league to find teams that can go and continually win games and not have an off night. And we're playing, again, a top five team at one point this season on the road in their building. And it happens.
And yeah, you mentioned Joshua Langford, and you know, he almost doubled his career high with rebounds. Just what difference did he make? And especially, I mean, you know, it seemed like he went at Adam Miller quite a bit, you know, at least early.
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job of putting him in ISOs, but it was his rebounding. You know, he's had 10 rebounds at half, and again, it was just I think we're 12 of 30 on layups, and so, you know, when you're not getting those to go, I almost two with nobody around him. And I mean, you know, it's just, again, it's as much as you want to make a big deal about the Minnesota game and push it away. I do the same with games like this. You have them every year and there's no explanation for them. And now it's just move on. We're a really good basketball team and we've got to get ready for the next one.
Hey, Brad, you talk about you personally are in a pretty good place. Was there a point in the game? Because there were times you looked, you know, frustrated with just kind of how the game was unfolding. Was there, you know, what's the line for you between frustration and coming out and, you know, kind of seeing the way you're seeing it now?
Well, I'm going to fight for my team while it's going on. As soon as the game ends, I got a switch to flip off and, you know, group of guys to deal with when I'm not competing. And I loved our fight. I loved what we did. You know, we got 30 layups against Michigan State, 30. And we got to the line 34 times. Let's go do that again on another night and let's see what the outcome is. And so I'm in an unbelievable place. And again, I knew, to win it out, I think somebody told me we'd have to win 21 straight. Realistically, we're a good basketball team. We're gonna have a chance if we keep fighting and keep growing. And you can't let one game. You've got an unbalanced schedule in the Big Ten. That means nothing. I mean, you're going to go by some winning percentage or some, you know, when you got half the league not playing 20 games, it's about the postseason. And that's where we got to keep aiming towards.
I think this was the most points per possession the team's had since that Ohio State game. Was there anything specifically they were doing or anything you can kind of point to and say that was an issue?
I mean, they made shots and they got offensive rebounds. And I was give them credit. I mean, they got going against Indiana. They scored 52 in the second half against Indiana. And so that does a lot for their confidence. And other than early, we didn't turn them over. But again, they made plays and we didn't.
Hey, Coach, Demonte seemed to be a little hesitant with his three-point looks. Hasn't taken very many dating back, you know, mid-January. Are you seeing anything there where maybe he needs to step up and shoot a little bit more aggressively?
No, we never want him to turn him down, but he's fine. He'll be good. We'll get him to shoot him.
The next one coming up, I know it's different, senior night, as far as no fans being in there and seniors having an opportunity to come back. But how do you kind of view that with what's, you know, coming up next?
Well, that's a night of appreciation. That's a night of what family celebrates. And, you know, obviously it's a different year, as you mentioned, but, you know, we celebrate family and that emotion. And it is disappointing that there's not going to be 15-5 in there to celebrate them and this team. You know, we'll make do and do it the best we can.
Hey, Brad, it seems like some of the teams that, you know, maybe you guys have struggled the most against this season that have been teams that really have a lot of size and know how to use it well. Do you think that is a matchup problem for you guys possibly?
I think everybody in our league's got size. I mean, Northwestern's got size. Purdue's got size. Wisconsin's huge. We've done pretty well with what we've got.
All right, thanks.
Hey, Brad, they limited Kofi to 13-6 tonight. What'd you kind of see from them defensively against him?
I don't know. I haven't seen the number, how many fouls he drew. I mean, was he at 25 if he makes free throws? You know, that's what I said. That's what I meant when I said they were going to muck it up. You know, they've got five guys that they can just throw in there and go at him. And, you know, it was going to be a night where we were trying to throw it in there and maybe a little bit too much. We got out of a little bit of rhythm early, but again, it was, they've got that luxury having all that size.
And then a season low in minutes for Adam tonight. What kind of went into that?
Nothing. Just combination. We were trying to find Aaron Henry's matchup. We were trying to find, match up with Langford. And again, it was just, it's just one of those nights. Nothing big. He'll be in the starting lineup on Thursday.
Okay, Brad Underwood. I mean, kind of the gist of the post game was it was just one of those nights. And certainly I'm going to actually agree a little bit with Brad in the sense that you're not going to come out every night and play to a terrific performance, but it is kind of frustrating when you played so well at Minnesota and then to come back and just kind of do what you did against Michigan State. It would be different if your Minnesota game was at home and then you went to East Lansing, but both were on the road.
It would also be different if Michigan State was good.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're going to end out, you know, turn out to be good. They're 12-9, 6-9 in conference.
Yeah.
They've got a chance.
They do.
I don't know. Maybe it's nitpicking. It sounded like he was so okay with that.
Right.
And I know he's not.
No.
Losing
no.
stinks, and he was clearly upset during the game.
Yep.
But that game frustrated me so much and ticked me off that the first thing he says is, I've got nothing to complain about. I'm in a great place. I thought, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have anything to complain about with that game? Because I could find like 10 things. But...
a lot of 10 things.
More power to them, I guess.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, when we come back, we'll hear more about Illinois. We'll talk more about Illinois, Michigan State. He mentioned Adam Miller there. I'd like to see more from him.
Agreed.
So we can talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about the freshman when we come back next hour and kind of what we think about that and kind of what we thought going into the season, then all of a sudden what we thought they were going to be, and now kind of what we think.
Readjusting
again. So we'll talk about that. Also, we will hear from Trent Frazier, who had a pretty good game last night.
He was the best Illini on the court last night.
He totally was. So we'll hear from Trent Frazier as well. A lot to do. If you want to weigh in, I know a lot of you have. 359-2255, the 217 area code that we all now have to start using, I think. 359-2255. It is The Drive. There's Isaac Ambrose.